Okay, hey everybody. Hey Steve, hey Carol, hey Yehuda. Already. Okay, Elliot made it. Oh, and Erica made it. Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody. Hope you're doing well. So, we are going to continue with our Siddur Shir as we make our trek through Psukei Dezimra. So, this paragraph that we're going to focus on, it's very small, but it packs quite a punch. Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen v'amen. It's four psukim. That's all it is, four psukim, but there's a lot to discuss within those four psukim. And we'll just read them really quickly. Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen v'amen. Baruch Hashem mitzion, shochein Yerushalayim, halleluka. Baruch Hashem Elokim, Elokei Yisrael, osei niflaos levado, uvaruch shem kvado le'olam, v'yamali chabado es kol ha'aretz, amen v'amen. All right, shkoyach. Just kidding. Okay, so there are four psukim, and where do these four psukim come from? It's not one paragraph of Tehillim. It's similar to Yehi Chavod in the sense that Yehi Chavod, as we discussed earlier, was a combination of many different psukim, but it was 21 psukim throughout, mostly from Tehillim and some from, I think there's one pasuk from Mishlei and one pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. So here we have four psukim, all from Tehillim. We have two psukim from Tehillim, Ayin Beis. We have one pasuk of Tehillim from Pei Tes and one from Kuf Chav Hei. 72, 89, and 125 are the three Tehillim that are used and four Psukim within the paragraph. So the question is, who put these four Psukim together? So the Tashbetz writes that these four Psukim were put together by the Maharam Meirutenberg in the 13th century. Maharam Meirutenberg was one of the Rishonim. And the question is, what exactly was this all about? Why did the Maharam Meirutenberg put these four psukim together? So explains the Tashbetz as follows. So we know that there's a prohibition to speak during Psukei Dezimra. From when we begin Baruch She'amar is a bracha, through Yishtabach is another bracha that's one unit. So you're not supposed to talk during that time. Of course, there are certain exceptions, as we'll get there in a moment, when you are allowed to make interruptions, but as a general rule, you're not supposed to talk between Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach for Psukei Dezimra. So what happens? What the Maharam Shik would do is as follows. If there was a need for him to talk between Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach, he would recite these four psukim. He would recite Baruch Hashem l'olam amen v'amen, and then he would start talking. And then the Tashbetz writes, when he would finish his side conversation, he would say Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen a second time, and then he would continue with the rest of the davening until Yishtabach. In other words, forget the fact that we found Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen at this spot after the Hallelukas. That we're going to need to discuss momentarily. But the Maharam Meirutenberg said that the reason why the Baruch Hashem, the Tashbetz writes that according to the Maharam, these four verses of Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen were used as a device whenever he needed to talk during Psukei Dezimra. He would say these four psukim. He would then talk, and then when he finished talking, he would say these four psukim again and continue. Well, the question is, well, wow, we just found a new kula that we haven't had before. So now, instead of just talking during Psukei Dezimra when we know we're not supposed to, now we have an answer. Anytime we are in the mood to have a conversation with our neighbor, or at least when we can go back to shul and have a conversation with our neighbor again, then, right, that was the people are putting on social media that they haven't spoken in shul in 3 months. They're so frum. Hopefully we'll have the chance to talk in shul, but not during davening. There you go. But anyhow, so it sounds like there's this big kula that according to the Maharam Meirutenberg, you can be in the middle of davening, and at a certain point, you have a need to tell your friends an important piece of information. So you just say, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen. And then you talk, and then after you finish, you say it again, and you continue. So it sounds like this is a big kula. So is this a kula, or is it a chumrah? Now, what exactly would it mean to be a chumrah? Maybe the truth is that you're not supposed to be talking. We know you're not supposed to be talking, but we also know that there are certain parts of the davening of Pesukei Dezimra that you are allowed to make a hefsek, and you don't need to say Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen. But perhaps what the Maharam Rotenberg would do is, even though technically he didn't need to say this Baruch Hashem le'olam, he would say it anyways. So is it a kula or is it a chumrah? So the Eliyahu Rabbah quotes the Sefer Knesset HaGedolah, and the Sefer Knesset HaGedolah says, I don't understand how the Maharam Rotenberg would do this. It doesn't make sense that you can just say these four psukim and start talking in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. How does this work? So the Eliyahu Rabbah says, no, the Knesset HaGedolah is mistaken. He thought that the Maharam Rotenberg was using this as a kula, as an excuse to talk. Here's your way out. Here's your rabbinic leniency. He said, that's not the case. Rather, we know from the Shulchan Aruch, if you look in Siman Nun Aleph, we're told when exactly you're allowed to make an interruption, when you're allowed to talk during Pesukei Dezimra. Bein Hamizmorim, it's Siman Nun Aleph Sif Hei. The Shulchan Aruch writes that between all of the Mizmorim of Pesukei Dezimra, you can show out Bepnei HaKavod. You can, if there's a reason, they're out of respect, you can say hello to somebody, and then you can return shalom to anyone who gives you shalom. That's only in between the paragraphs. However, what about in the middle of the paragraph? Ube'emtzah ha'mizmor, shoel mipnei ha'yira. Then you can say shalom aleichem to someone who you are afraid of, like a king. Umeshiv mipnei ha'kavod, and you can answer only, not to anyone who says hello, but only someone who's deserving of your respect. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Parenthetically, the Mishnah Berurah does quote the Magen Avraham that says, nowadays we do not make any hefsek for any reason during tefillah, and therefore these leniencies no longer apply. But that being said, putting that to the side, what the Eli Rabbah says is that the Maharam's intent is as follows. The Maharam would say, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen, he'd say these psukim, not as an excuse to start talking, but even though he had a legitimate reason to talk, and he didn't need to recite these four verses, he would do it anyways. So it was a chumrah that he added on. And that's how the Magen Avraham understands it. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it as well. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this, even though he does say that the custom is no longer to make any interruptions during Pesukei Dezimra for any reason, he does quote this idea from the Maharam Rotenberg, that if there is a reason to, if there's a need to speak at the appropriate time, don't just interrupt your davening and start speaking. Say these four psukim and then have your conversation. That's how the Mishnah Berurah rules. The truth is, if you look at the Tashbetz, when the Tashbetz quotes the Maharam Rotenberg, it's very clear that the Tashbetz is referring to specifically at a time when it's permissible to make a hefsek, when you are allowed to make an interruption, and he said it anyway, so it was a chumrah. But the question is, how exactly does this chumrah work? What's the point? Why does Baruch Hashem el Olam Amen V'Amen make a difference? How does that change something? So as I mentioned before, Baruch Sh'amar begins with a bracha, and Yishtabach ends with a bracha, and that's the goal. You have bracha, davening, and bracha. But if you need to make a hefsek, an interruption in between these two brachas, so what do? You add on these four psukim. What do all these four psukim begin with? Baruch. In other words, what we're doing then, if you have to speak in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, you started with Baruch She'amar, you said some of the Pesukei Dezimra, and now you finished with a baruch, so you close that unit. Then you went on and had your side conversation. You finished your conversation, you open again with Baruch, and then you close it with the Yishtabach, which ends with a Baruch Baruch Chei Ha'olamim. That's the idea. So, again, the Maharam Rotenberg, well, the question was, who put these psukim together? So the Tashbetz said this was put together by the Maharam Rotenberg, be out of a concern or a need to make an interruption during his Pesukei Dezimra. As a chumrah, he would add these psukim. There is another possible, perhaps even a more simpler reason, and maybe not even a contradiction, to as to how these psukim got together. The truth is that these four psukim are said every night at Maariv, in addition to saying them every day at Shacharis. We say Baruch Hashem Olam Amen V'Amen right before Shmon Esrei every night at Maariv. It's 18 psukim long, not connected to Shmon Esrei. This is only four psukim long. And where did that come from? Who put all those 18 psukim together? So there, when, and we'll get to Maariv eventually, I'm not sure when, but eventually we'll get to this discussing Maariv. That came from the Gaonim, from the Gaonic period. And perhaps, or it seems pretty obvious to me, that the Maharam Mirunberg took those four, those first four opening psukim, and adopted them into his, I guess, tool house, whereby when he needed to make a hefsek in the davening, so he would put in this Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen, and that's what he would do. So the origins of this bracha, of these four psukim, likely come from Maariv, from the Gaonic period. Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen, the 18 psukim connected to Shmon Esrei. Maharam Mirunberg borrowed these four psukim and then used them during Psukei Dezimra, that if he needed to make an interruption, that's what he would say in order to close the section of Psukei Dezimra with a baruch, and then open it again with a baruch in order to close it properly with a baruch. So now the question, as I mentioned before, so why specifically these four psukim? So these four psukim, the answer is, well, they all start with baruch. I mean, the truth is, though, there are other psukim in Tehillim that have the word baruch. So why specifically these four? So it's a little bit difficult to understand what the significance of these four are, but hopefully we'll bring some meaning or some significance or symbolism to these four psukim. But the truth is, up till now, we've been discussing the fact that Baruch Hashem Olam has four psukim. The truth is, if you look in the Tashbetz that I've been quoting from the Maharam Mirunberg and the Kolbo who quotes the Tashbetz and the Maharam Mirunberg, and even the Abudraham who discusses this, Maharam Mirunberg, none of them come up with three psukim, with four psukim, I'm sorry. The Abudraham writes that the Maharam Mirunberg used to say five psukim, the four that are here, in addition to a bracha in Divrei Hayamim, a baruch that's in Divrei Hayamim, which we actually say every morning during Hodu, which is Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam v'yomru chol ha'am amen v'halel Hashem. So there were five psukim that the Maharam Mirunberg would say when he wanted to make a hefsek in the davening to speak to somebody. And if you look in the Tashbetz and in the Kolbo, so here it's a little bit difficult exactly what it was, but they only say there's three psukim that the Maharam Mirunberg would say. The three psukim, it seems like, the three psukim are this pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, which you just quoted, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'yad ha'olam v'amar kol ha'am amen v'halel Hashem, which is not in our Baruch Hashem le'olam. Then they would say Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen. That's number two. And what's pasuk number three? Vayivarach David es Hashem le'enei kol ha'kol v'yomer David Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael avinu me'olam v'yad olam. Yes, the beginning of the next chapter, the next paragraph, Vayivarach David. Those were the three psukim that the Maharam Mirunberg used to say, which then makes us confused, because we have these four psukim here of Baruch Hashem Le'olam, which we said emanated from this idea of the Maharam Mirunberg, that when you would make a hefsek in the davening, in the Psukei Dezimra, you want to close the section with a baruch, and then open it again with a baruch, but it wasn't even these four psukim. In fact, the Rishonim aren't even clear which of the psukim the Maharam Mirunberg was actually using. Was it five or was it three? But it certainly wasn't four. So we have to understand, we have to figure out where these four psukim come from. And I believe we'll get there and why they're here. But then we have a, but first, in order to do that, we have to ask ourselves a bigger question, which is if these four psukim, let's just say four, if these four psukim were instituted by the Maharam Mirunberg in case a person needed to make an interruption during his davening, Then why did we add it as a formal part of our davening? It should be an informal thing. Put it in like the beginning of Psukkah d'Zimra in front of the art scroll of by Mizmor Shir. It should say, if somebody wants to make an interruption, say these four psukim. Why do we say it every single morning? It has nothing to do with it other than just in case you have to make an interruption. How did it become part of our formal tefillah? So there are two answers given. One was by the Levush, and one was by the Divrei Chamuros. All, by the way, all were quoted in the Eli Rabbah, so that was easy. I didn't have to do so much work. I just found it in the Eli Rabbah. So the Eli Rabbah quotes the Levush, who says that the reason why Baruch Hashem Le'olam was put right here in at this part of davening is specifically or precisely because this is an area where people would generally start talking to their neighbors. There would be a need to talk to their neighbors at this point in the davening. The Divrei Chamura says, "What are you talking about? This is a place where people would start talking to their neighbors. Well, that it's not like there was a time where everyone would say, hey, break, let's start schmoozing. Usually, a conversation happens when a conversation happens. There's no time when a conversation, you don't know, oh, 7.5 minutes into Shacharis, there's always a conversation. You don't know. It's based on who's passing by and what information needs to be shared, not based on a specific time or place in the davening. Now, I know in camps, after Shmon Esrei, after Shacharis, they would break for Kiddush and then come back for Laining and Musaf. It's not like in the middle of Psukkah d'Zimra, they've only davened for 7 minutes, and they're stopping and they're saying, okay, guys, shmooze time. That's not really how it worked. So the Divrei Chamuros writes that the reason why we have Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen in general in our Siddur is just to remind us that there is this concept of these saying this Baruch if you need to make a hefsek, similar to what I suggested before, that which means the better place to have this Baruch Hashem Le'olam would be in the beginning of Psukkah d'Zimra. Make a big footnote on the page and say, if you need to make an interruption, make sure to say these verses. That's why the Divrei Chamuros says it's in our Siddur. But the question is, why specifically here? So here he gets a little more creative. He says, we want to juxtapose, we need a bridge from the Halalukas to Vayivarech David. And what better way to connect the Halalukas to the Vayivarech David by putting all these brachos together? You have bracha, baruch, 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 and then we get to Vayivarech David. But what's the connection? What's the bridge from the Halalukah to the bar, to the to this Baruch Hashem Le'olam? Well, look at the second pasuk. Baruch Hashem Mitzion Shochein Yerushalayim Halalukah. So you have a connection from the Halalukah to the Baruch, and then a connection from the Baruch to the Baruch. A very nice idea suggested by the Divrei Chamuros. However, I want to give you a brand new idea, totally different idea from the Avudraham. It was interesting that I didn't see this quoted in the Beis Yosef when he discusses this whole concept of Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen. And I didn't notice. I kept on looking for this Avudraham, and I ended up finding two Avudrahams. There's one Avudraham in the section of Psukkah d'Zimra, and there's one Avudraham in his discussion about Yishtabach right afterwards. One paragraph after the next, essentially. In his paragraph on Yishtabach, he talks about the Maharam Mirutenberg who would make a hefsek, and he would say those five verses, the four we have here, plus the one pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. But in the paragraph earlier, which the Beis Yosef does not quote, and this is unlocks the mystery here, the Avudraham writes that as part of davening, they instituted these four psukim. He specifically says these four psukim: Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Baruch Hashem Mitzion, Baruch Hashem Elokim, and Uvaruch Shem Kevodo Le'olam. These four psukim were added into the text. The question is, why? Why specifically these four, and why specifically here? So says that Avudraham, a fascinating idea. The Gemara says, and we mentioned this last time, probably the last two or three times, Yehei chelki migomrei halil b'chol yom, that Rabbi Yossi said, I want my portion to be as one of those people who finishes halil every single day. And they said, halil every single day, what does that mean? So he said, oh, it meant Psukkah d'Zimra. And then we started discussing what exactly that meant within Psukkah d'Zimra. So the Avudraham writes, you know what being gomer halil is every day? How are you complete halil? What's halil? Halil are different chapters in Psalms, different prakim in Tehillim. So what do we do here? We take the last pasuk in every section of Tehillim, and we put it right here. So now we have all five sections of Tehillim accounted for. And now I said Hallel b'chol yom, even though I didn't say all of Hallel, I didn't say all of Tehillim, but if I say the end, it's as if I said all of it, sort of. It's actually similar to when I mentioned on Sunday the Tikkun Lil Shavuos. The Tikkun Lil Shavuos pamphlet, the structure is that you read a little bit of each parsha, and a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Pirkei Avos, a little bit of Medrash, and that's as if you finished all of the Torah. Same idea. So if you do some research, you'll notice that Tehillim is broken down into five sections. The first section is Aleph through Mem Aleph to 41, then to Ayin Beis, then to Peites, then to Kuf Vav, and then Kuf Nun. Each one has similar themes. One part focuses on Asaf, one is on David, one is on Korach, and then the last group is just a hodgepodge of different without any specific order. But there are themes to each section, so they're split up into five. We already know the last Hallelujah is 150. So we end off Hallel, we end off Tehillim, Sefer Tehillim every morning. Now, Baruch Hashem le'olam, Amen v'Amen, is actually the last pasuk in Tehillim 89. So section 2 is the end of section 2 is accounted for, plus the end of section 5. Then we have the last two psukim, Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael Osei Niflos Levado Uvaruch Shem Kevodo Le'olam B'Yemalei Chavodo Es Kol Arts Amen V'Amen. Those two psukim are the last two psukim in Ayin Beis. Technically, there is one small little pasuk at the end of Ayin Beis which just says, now David finished his song, but those are technically speaking the last two psukim in Tehillim, Ayin Beis. So now we have the end of section 2 and the end of section 3 accounted for. So it sounds very nice. This Avudraham is that, we say Baruch Hashem Le'olam in order to have the last verse in every section of Tehillim. The problem is, it turns out, we only have the end of the second one and the end of the third one. The end of the fourth one is at 106. But instead of having the pasuk from 106, we have Tehillim Kuf Chaf Hei. It's from 125. Why would we have a pasuk from 125? So you can make the argument that Kuf Chaf Hei is right before all of the hodus that we say every Shabbos, and maybe that what we call the Hallel Hagadol, so maybe that's technically an end of a section. Maybe. But even so, that will be the end of the second section, the end of the third section, and the end of the fourth section, technically, and then the Halukah is the end of the fifth section. But we don't have anything corresponding to the end of the first section. So it's a really nice idea from the Avudraham, and it makes sense that we want to be from the Chelke Migomre Halal B'chol Yom, but it's not 100% accurate. So how do we make this work well? So perhaps we have the following idea from the Mate Moshe. The Mate Moshe comes up with a really an insightful piece. The Mate Moshe says as follows. Why is it that we don't have the last pasuk of Tehillim 41? We don't use 106, we use 125. And also, one thing which we didn't mention is the order of these psukim. Baruch Hashem le'olam is 89. Baruch Hashem mitzion is 125. And then Baruch Hashem elokim elokei Yisrael is 72. 89, 125, 72. Shouldn't we go in order? Why are we going out of order? So here comes the Mate Moshe. Really, really fascinating insight. Take it or leave it, I guess. But it's really a nice idea. He says that Baruch Hashem Le'olam, this paragraph is connected to Birchos Kriyat Shema and Shmon Esrei in the following way. And that's why it's in this specific order. The first pasuk has five words. Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Amen V'Amen. You know what those five words correspond to? Baruch Hashem HaMevorach Le'olam Voed. to be the beginning of Birchas Kriyat Shema. The second pasuk, Baruch Hashem Mitzion Shochein Yerushalayim Halleluka. Six words. You know what the six words can correspond to? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Six words. And then if you look at the last two psukim, it ends up, I don't have enough fingers, but there are 19 words. There are 19 words in those last two psukim, which are from the same chapter in Tehillim. What's the significance of these 19 words? So he says it's Shmon Esrei plus the one extra bracha, which we've added on, v'lamal shini maltihi sikva, was in a later bracha added on for against the heretics. So there are 19 brachos of Kriyashma, there are 19 brachos in Shmon Esrei, or in Tefillah, and 19 words in these last two psukim. That is the idea of the Matan Moshe, and that's why it says it's specifically in this order. That's why it jumps. It goes from 89 to 125, and then back down to 72. Really a wild idea from the Matan Moshe, but great. I loved it. When I saw it, I fell in love with it. The Rabbi Schwab and Rav Monk, when they discuss Baruch Hashem Le'olam and the flow, so they give perhaps a more, I wouldn't call it meaningful, but a more articulate approach where, you know, the first pasuk, he says, Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, the whole capital of Tehillim is talking about Hester Panim, a God that hid himself from all of us. And we end off with that bracha, Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, that God is blessed forever, despite the Hester Panim. And then the next pasuk focuses on the revelation to the next kapitel of Tehillim, focuses on the revelation to Klal Yisrael, that not everyone is going to know. It's going to be, it's Baruch Hashem Mitzion, Shochein Yerushalayim Halleluka. So there's a special connection to Tzion, to Klal Yisrael. And then finally, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Osei Niflos Levado UBaruch Shem Kvodo LeOlam VeYamalei Chavodo As Kol Arts Amen VeAmen is referring to Yemos HaMashiach. So if you take those three different kapitlach of Tehillim, it goes from God's Hester Panim to His revelation to the Ha'aras Panim to Yemos HaMashiach. That is the continuum. That's the flow, and that's why it's in that specific order. Rabbi Eliyahu Monk, in his sefer, he does something similar concept, but that's the way they want to structure it. His focus is that Baruch Shem Le'olam, we want to bring Hashem, God, into the world. How do we bring Him into the world? Well, first, it's Mitzion. First, it comes from Eretz Yisrael, from the Beis HaMikdash. And even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, then it's up to us as individuals. It's Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Osei Niflos Levado. It's on us. We still need to maintain that connection. And once we maintain that connection, our hope and prayer is that with enough people making that individual connection, Baruch Shem Kevodo Le'olam V'Yamali Chavodo Es Kol Ha'aretz, that eventually it radiates throughout the entire world. That's the way that Rav Monk would understand it. By the way, I omitted to mention a nice idea from the Shla HaKadosh. The Shla HaKadosh says, you know, there are four brachos. Baruch, 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 in the four psukim. What's the significance? Why four? So he says it corresponds to God's four-letter name, Yud, and then the Hey, and the Vav, and then the Hey. So that's why it has four brachos. That's why it's four psukim. That's an idea from the Shla. The last thing we'll mention is this idea of Amen V'Amen. Why we say it twice? Amen V'Amen. So the first Amen, the general understanding is that the first Amen is, well, there's two ways to understand it. One is that Amen V'Amen means I'm full of belief. I'm full of Amuna. Amen V'Amen. It's stronger than just a singular Amen. It's like the nail, the final hammer blow. But Amen V'Amen could mean something different, which is more than the fact that it's done, it's hammered in for good, but rather Amen V'Amen means I accept it. Amen, I have received this, the emuna, the amen, and I want to express this outwardly in the hopes that others will also be inspired to receive these same feelings, the same emotions, and commit themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just as strong as my connection is as well. Amen to me, v'amen to everyone else. So that is a lot about this little paragraph. So just to do a little quick recap, it appears that Baruch Hashem Le'olam came from Mariv and was brought down into our davening of Psukei D'Zimra right here at this specific point for a specific reason, to connect it to the Hallelukas, maybe to also be a bridge between Hallelukas and Vayivarach David, but also because it ends off the different sections of Tehillim, or most of the sections of Tehillim are connected over here. But in addition to that, the Maharam Rutenberg would also use a similar paragraph, not these exact four. According to the Abu Draham, it was these exact four plus a fifth pasuk. According to some, it was three psukim. He would use it at any part of Psukei D'Zimra in order to make a hefsek. So don't think that this was designed, that this Baruch Hashem Le'olam was just placed here because it used to be fashionable to make a hefsek in davening. Now that we don't make a hefsek in davening, we just throw it in here. That's not true. According to the Abu Draham, it was designed to be here. It just so happens that they would also use a similar formulation when they wanted to make a hefsek during Psukei D'Zimra. And the Mishnah Berurah still quotes, even now, even though generally speaking we said we do not make any hefsek during, we're not allowed to make a hefsek during davening for any reason, for kavod or yira, that doesn't apply anymore. But if there was a reason where someone had to, there was no choice, then they should interrupt their Psukei D'Zimra by first saying this Baruch Hashem Le'olam. This formulation probably works fine, since it will be hard to remember the other ones that we don't have at our fingertips. But this bracha itself was placed here because it is connected as a bridge to the from the Hallelukas to Vayivarach David, and also because it ends off all of the Tehillim, so that we are all Gomrei Hallel Bechol Yom. Hope everyone has a great evening. Don't forget to daven Maariv and say the Omer. All the best.